Today on the first part of the morning show, Marty Richards is in from Greater Richland Tourism. We're talking about some of the things going on and some of the really good numbers that came in across Richland County here for this past year. But I think, Marty, we first of all want to kick it off and talk about all the things going on this weekend. First of all, the rodeo parade tomorrow. How's it looking?
Well, yeah. So number one, it looks like our weather forecast came in as I predicted. Looks to be dry in the morning. You've yelled at me for saying this before, but in the 6 years I've been in this position, I have never had rain on a parade. And I know I've called for no rain tomorrow. It looks like the forecast is good for that in the morning. And, that probably ensures it will rain, but no, we've had really good fortune on that. And so we're excited and it won't be crazy hot. I know back in the day I was in some parades. I didn't know if I was going to make it to the end of it. So really looks to be weather really cooperating very well with us. Registrations and things have been strong. The one area that is kind of glaringly lacking that we really need more, and I know there's a lot of them out there, collector cars, trucks, tractors. People really enjoy seeing nostalgia in our community. And I know there's a lot of people out there, not to name any names, but there's a lot of people out there that have collector vehicles that they've restored and have a story about them. And really just for people, you know, you and I are Alice Chalmers guys. And anytime I see a different Alice Chalmers, I kind of think of, you know, haying and disking and stuff I used to do as a kid. But we really could use more of those old classic cars, classic trucks, restored semis, and tractors. And it's real easy to get in. If somebody would call us at the visitor center, you can call me direct, 608-630-2452. Boy, we can get you in real easy. It is good that we know ahead of time that you're coming, because that kind of helps us with the lineup. And then the poor announcers that are standing there trying to do an announcing stand of what's coming next, it's kind of hard on you guys when you have no idea who this is.
We have to wait till they go by and then see the signage on the truck. Oh, here is Smith's Trucking Service.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly. So pre-registration isn't required, but boy, we really encourage it because that helps the experience for everybody and helps us with lineup too. So just folks, you know, gosh, if you got that classic truck, classic car, you know, I would love to see the old Burt Reynolds T-Bird. You know, that was a pretty cool vehicle in the day, and I know there's at least one in the community that's fixed up nice. Would love to see those in the parade, and I know other people enjoy that as well.
Wonderful. You were on with the Pine River Report last night talking about the fact that maybe we should discourage people from kayaking in the Pine River.
You know, it doesn't make sense as a tourism guy to say, hey, don't go do that. But this is one of those times. The Pine River is high, so the flow rate is high. The level is high. Jen Fry, who does a lot of work on the Pine River, kind of managing and keeping me informed, had a picture on social media last night. Phil, there's a bridge on the Pine River right now that you and I in our thinner days wouldn't have fit under.
Really?
So it's high. And, you know, we could not have laid down enough to make it. And today you and I would never make it.
We wouldn't
under
make
that
it?
Bridge
okay.
Now. So the flow rate's a little dangerous, a little high. Usually takes a couple days for that to come down. Once it moves downstream, then our people can get out. You know, Derek Warner, who's really done a great job, Mark Thomas, and then Dave Hausner's also been real helpful. Dennis Fry has been very helpful. And I've been out there with a chainsaw or two and dumped it into the river. We just can't get out there right now, number one. And then number two, we know with wind that we had that there are going to be some new trees knocked down. Now, maybe they are down, but they're not a problem. But we don't know. And so there's a couple of problems there, just the flow rate and the height of the water. But then there could be a new blockage that you can't get around, and we don't know about it. So, I mean, if you're a real seasoned kayaker and you like portaging, you love picking your kayak up and making your way on the bank around things, maybe that's a good experience for you. I wouldn't enjoy it, and the casual kayaker is not going to enjoy that. And there's a little safety issue as well. So, yeah, I'd encourage that we find other events and experiences this weekend, and we have plenty of those to explore.
We do. In fact, the rodeo, we've talked about the parade, but that's all tied into the rodeo itself.
The Wisconsin High School Rodeo State Finals start tonight, 7 o'clock. Be in your seats. That is just a, you know, I mentioned yesterday that I have not, through all the years, there were a few years I didn't live in the area, but I've lived here in the majority of my life. I had never been to the rodeo. And then about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, Roy, my videographer, and I went out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is an honest-to-goodness rodeo. There's actually bronc riding, and there's, you know, it's pretty crazy stuff. So for me, it was really enjoyable and exciting, and I think folks need to go check that out. And I've had some phone calls this year from people just trying to, you know, what's the schedule? Where do we go? They've never been to the rodeo before, and they're wanting to check it out. So I really encourage local folks that they support these events, because they're huge to our success in tourism. It draws more people to spend money in the area, but even the local residents need to support those too, so that they see there's interest and that we're willing to back them up as well. And there's going to be high school kids from the area participating that I'll bet some of us know, and that's worth giving them our support as well.
Very exciting stuff. And live music this weekend as well, Mark.
We're covered on live music.
Yeah.
We do this. It seems like we can have a weekend where it's like, okay, what do we do? Well, there's no live music. This weekend, that's not a problem. So first off, I'd mention Driftless Music Gardens. They have their Bonfire Music Festival, and that is, you know, 3 nights back-to-back, wall-to-wall music. And they've got, I'll tell you, I've heard some of them, like the People Brothers Band is playing, Charlie Parr is playing, the Spooklights, Hot Like Mars. I just like checking, you know, it's kind of like Spinal Tap when you start going through the old names of bands. Well, these days, they're making up some interesting names of bands, and it's kind of fun just to go through those. And the Shook Twins, The Last Revel, I've heard all of those bands at times, and, you know, really, they've got some quality music out there. And they have a day pass. So for those of you who, if you're like me, I have literally slept on the ground before, not in the last 20 years, and won't be doing it again if I can help it. They do have day passes where you just go for the day and go back home, sleep in the comfort of your own bed. So I would encourage that we support Driftless Music Gardens. They are a big component, one of the components for why we're having the tourism success we are when the state makes those measurements. And Cricket and Tim have really curated a very nice experience that's family friendly. You get great music. They also have some great vendors that come in that you see some really unique things. So they kind of turn into their own little village for a couple of days.
Interesting. We have the live music at the Garden Stage here in Richland Center as well.
Yeah, Margie, you know, every year does just a phenomenal job of bringing in some great music. This today, so Friday, the Garden Stage at the Central Boarding House, so that's right next to the Visitor Center down on Seminary. They have Dan Sobranek and John Smith performing starting at 6:30, if I recall. And they've been in Richland Center a few times. but so there is some they're kind of a local favorite. And I know that there's a crowd that'll go there just because that's who's going to be there. Again, the weather is really favorable for all of these outdoor events now, tonight especially. It's going to be really mild, very comfortable. When you go to the Central Boarding House, you know, you can bring your own lawn chair. You can bring your own beverage if you'd like, even. But just come enjoy the setting. It's really outstanding. And the music there is phenomenal. And the way it's set up against the house, you really can hear the music very nicely. And it's just a great experience. You're literally in the backyard enjoying music.
Indeed. And it'll be a great night to do that. Well, we hinted at it a little bit, but some years of increased direct visitor spending.
Yeah. So I think if anybody actually listens to me, for the last 4 months, I've been kind of throwing up some yellow flags that, you know, last year we could see towards the end of the year where things were softening up. We weren't seeing as many visitors coming to the area about mid-November. It started to, you could kind of feel it. And I talked with other lodging operators, talked with other businesses, and they were kind of like, yeah, that last month and a half of the year. And really, this is a little bit of study of economics and how they work in with current events. And I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was selling real estate in Reedsburg. I was in the real estate business. And when Desert Storm broke out, I will never forget. We even had people were negotiating to purchase properties. And when Desert Storm started, that just stopped. The real estate business stopped because people hate uncertainty when they're making big purchases or in their investing. It just, you know, it really puts a clamp on things. And when the economy starts to struggle with inflation and things like that, you'll see the same effect. Well, we kind of had a double whammy there where we had inflation really hitting us at the end of last year. Plus, then when war broke out in the Middle East, that kind of put it into overdrive in February and March. Well, we could feel it last year. But what's interesting is that through that, last year, and through, this is the Department of Tourism does this every year in relationship with the Department of Revenue. They measure direct visitor spending county by county. So they have a matrix that they apply, and they've got the actual spending records, right? They can see what was spent in all the different categories that might apply to tourism. So they're measuring lodging, what's spent in lodging, what is spent in food, entertainment items, things like that. Things that visitors would typically spend in your area, they're checking that, measuring, and then they look at it year over year to see what was the result this year as opposed to last year. Well, in the greater Richland area and Richland County specifically, we have now strung 5 years in a row of increased direct visitor spending. Last year, we had an increase of 2.2%, which may not sound like a lot, but when we look at some area counties, there were area counties that surround us that had a negative return, that they actually lost spending and went down. Now, we've had 5 years of where we're setting records every year, and it continues to increase. And that's really kind of speaking to the effort that our businesses are making, that, you know, Greater Richland Tourism is going to capture some of that credit, darn it. You know, if you start kind of drawing a line correlation with what's common here, what's the common thread, it's been 5 years that we've had a really concerted advertising campaign where we are using direct marketing through print magazines in Milwaukee and Chicagoland areas. We're also doing billboard. We have done some digital billboards in Milwaukee and Chicago areas. But really, with the linchpin that's making it happen, I really feel, and I can kind of see in the numbers, is our streaming advertising. So we are now doing streaming advertising in Chicago and in Minneapolis. And we're really seeing results from that. And I'll tell you, I'll be on later in the month and I'll kind of delve in that a little deeper. But that's what is creating our consistency, because when you look at the other, so all the counties around us, if we looked at Crawford, Vernon, Grant, they all have had years in the past 3 years where they had a downturn, where they went down in direct visitor spending, and Richland County has not had that. We have had five consecutive years of increased visitor spending in our county, And I think there is credit also that needs to be given to our business operators, our tourism-related business operators, because without the investments they've made, that wouldn't happen either. Driftless Music Gardens that we just talked about, the reason for our increase last year, they had a couple of more events, a couple of nights where it was just single night events. Hub City Dirt Drags needs a lot of credit. I'll tell you, that event, when it came to the Richland County Fairgrounds, I believe it was about 2 years ago. They were in Hub City. They outgrew that. They came to the Richland County Fairgrounds because they had outgrown it. And then at the Richland County Fairgrounds, it has been absolutely off the hook what they've done. In one of my pirated sessions where I get backdoor information that companies are measuring, and I'll have to tell more about that when I'm on for the full thing, but there are companies out there that measure how many cell phones are in a geographical area during a specific period of time. And I was able to kind of get a sneak peek at that. The 2 day time frame of the Hub City Dirt Drags, there were 1,900 different cell phones, individual cell phones, at the Richland County Fairgrounds. So it didn't double count if somebody was there 2 days. It just pinged that phone once. Well, it pinged it the next day. It didn't count it again. It was one time. So there were 1,900 new individual cell phones, so people, that were at the fairgrounds. Well, if you go back 3 years ago, that wasn't happening. You know, and in Hub City, they were nowhere near that big. So Hub City Dirt Drags have really been a positive economic influence on our area. They have two events, not one. And really, their fall event is the big event. So I think the spring event kind of surprised them a little bit. But they deserve a lot of credit for that. Discover Driftless down by Lone Rock. We haven't seen the effect of them yet. But Dion and Holly Puzon have really done a nice job of crafting a very enjoyable space where it's an event space. It also, they have their own events. They have a farmer's market and craft market on Thursdays, and then they have live music. I've been down there to enjoy it, the space they've developed. It's funny, you know, I can remember that was a livestock barn.
Yes.
It was a couple years ago, but they've crafted it into just a really cool hangout space with live music and food. They always have a vendor there, a food truck, and just a really enjoyable time. And then something, again, we haven't seen the effect of them yet. Brand new this year is the Lavender Experiment. Rick and Stacy Walters, I'll have to bring them in with me sometime, Phil, because their story is really interesting. Basically, they're retirement age, and they decided they wanted a business or something to do with a farm that they own with family. And they're like, what should we do? They tried a couple things, and the deer ate everything. So they're like, okay, we got to try something different. And they found the deer do not eat lavender.
Oh, did not know
that. Little known fact. So, but now they've expanded where they have a pretty big business. And now this year, they are going to be doing experiences there where people come in, pick your own, and can make wreaths. They'll help them with that. They've got a nice pavilion they've built. It's really an enjoyable space. It's in the back of a valley with several ponds, the lavender, walking trails. It's just a really nice place. And they are kind of growing their experience there. And so there's more to come on that. But we also have, you know, some folks that have been here and really have made nice investments that have benefited us. And like Muscadet English Prairie Distillery, you know, while that's not in our county, we're getting a direct benefit for the fact of the investment they have made there. Annaway Place deserves a lot of mention because they are making new investments. So existing businesses also making new investments. They have two new lodging properties. One, the Mirror House, is just phenomenal. We have a video that we're producing kind of explaining what that is, what's happened. They also have another new one that's going to be going online soon. So, you know, we can do things that set up for success, and we kind of sit there and live off from it, or we can continue to grow from it. And that's what Annaway has done. I know English Prairie Distillery has done. Wild Hills Winery is doing that with constant improvements to what they're offering. So I really like the mindset that our business owners have, that they're looking forward, looking how they can grow those things.
Lots of things going on at the Willows, too. I understand. I was there the other day for a graduation party. They have like 11 weddings this year booked.
Yeah, I was talking to Sherry and Lori about this, and Lori just kind of gave me that look like, what did we do? they're busy. And, you know, Chapters on the Horizon as well over in Viola.
Yes.
They are booked up as well. We are a desired area. And if then we can bring those experiences with it that fit the area, like Chapters on the Horizon have, like the Willows have, you know, the Willows really did a great job taking literally a pig barn, a shed, and turned it into a wedding or event venue that is phenomenal. People will come. And yes, I remember a few months ago where Lori was, we talk a fair amount, and she said, boy, we got some open weekends. And then I saw her last weekend and she goes, oh, I wish I had an open weekend because it's not easy. It is work. It's intense. A lot of people and you're concerned about how things look, but things there always look fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, it's proof that there was a real need for a venue of that sort. And, you know, people see a need and if you're looking for a business, that's the way to go. Right?
And I would argue there's a lot of opportunity in this area for more dining establishments.
Yes.
That is the one thing. If somebody here, you know, listening today is sitting there going, you know, I really want to get into a business opportunity, unique dining establishments. We have some great, what we would call pubs, that offer fantastic burgers and things like that. I can get you fresh, you know, farm-raised from this area burger, no problem. However, we need a little more diversity in that. And we hear that from our guests, that they're like, gosh, you know, what are the dining options? And I'll kind of show them. We have some great Hispanic options. We have really good, what we would call Americana pub type food. But, you know, what I would kill for the old Black Cat to still be around and have, you know, the old supper club feel.
Yes.
Or a farm to fork, you know, fresh, that's available every weekend. Things like that. Our visitors really are clamoring for, and it would help us drive those numbers and bring more money into the area as well.
I'm surprised you haven't started one because you used to do some late night cooking of some beef.
I'm really good at eating. you know, Phil, I've toyed with the idea of pop-up.
Oh, sure.
Just doing so because, I don't know, I'm at the age now where I don't know that I really want to cook for 100 people on a given night. But I have enjoyed, like, when my family's here or when we have friends over. And I will say, from the late night cooking you were referencing from my younger years, my tastes and ability have grown immensely.
They have. Okay.
No more Dinty Moore beef stew does not qualify
as
a sit down dinner for a couple coming to have a dining experience.
So. And using the smoke alarm as a, you know, a key that it's done.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
No, the smoke alarm has not gone off in some time when I was cooking. So,
well, I know you'll be back later this month to kind of delve a little bit deeper into some of those numbers.
You bet.
Very
impressive. Word I have is the parade looks great. We've grown that parade the last, you know, 4 years, really. It's gotten bigger and bigger, but we really are missing our nostalgia piece, the collector tractors, trucks, cars. We would love to have more, and can just give me a call. It's easy to get in, doesn't cost a dime. It's a tractor ride, for crying out loud, and tomorrow's weather will be fantastic. Just give me a call, 608-630-2452, or you can call a visitor center and we'll get you in there. And then I talked about a lot of things and events happening, but go to our website and our calendar of events, greaterrichlandtourism.com. Everything is there if you look at our calendar of events.
Perfect. Thanks, Marty.
You bet. Thank you, Phil.
Marty Rich is our guest on the first half of the morning show today. We'll talk about Wizards of Roz Car Show coming up.